Good evening, dear people. You know what day this is? Saturday. The day where we get to come together to touch one another, to share stories, and just to be with each other and enjoy it. And you know, I have one of my special friends with me, don't you?
Who's that, Carolyn?
I figure one of these days you're not going to answer me.
It's tempting. It's tempting.
I know. You're going to let me sit here with a finger in my ear or something.
Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Well, if you get our email about the show, the coming up show, then you know that today we have invited Notre Dame. And I have a lot to ask about the life and times and work of Notre Dame. But there was also a little note in our email about scrying. And we know or believe that from history that this is how Notre Dame got his information, by scrying a bowl of water. Some people scry today with a crystal ball. And so I believe, and we're going to really talk about this to Mr. Notre Dame, is I believe he worked the same way that Richard and I work, with using the right side of the brain. And I have to tell you, when Richard is the one that teaches people to use the right side of the brain, he is just magnificent with that. And when you work with the right side of the brain, you can connect with any consciousness in the cosmos. And everything has consciousness. We have just been so amazed at the sort of things in life that we can communicate with. You know, we've talked about this in past times, about connecting with trees, where we get the history of the land. We can ask questions about the kind of rocks that are beneath the trees. And oranges, they tell us how the orange works with the tree, and it understands that it's going to be sent to people to consume. There is so much that you can learn through using the right side of the brain. And tonight we're going to talk to Notre Dame. I'm asking him if he has a message to bring forth, and he does. Surprise, surprise. If you know how Richard and I work, if you've listened to this radio show in the past, then you would know that you call the person's name that we are going to be speaking to and put a picture in your third eye, your forehead, of what you think Notre Dame might look like. You might have even seen some pictures of him. Not photographs, but, you know, artists' renderings. And Richard will connect with him, and he will discuss the way he feels Notre Dame's energy. And hopefully, when you do this, you will feel it too, or have a connection to Notre Dame. So, Richard, would you be kind enough to tell us what his energy feels like?
Yes. It's an energy which, again, I experience relatively centrally and distributed out both sides from the center. And so my intuitive sense of that energy is, again, a lot of love, a lot of integrity in the man, and also quite a deal of wisdom, my sense of things. There's been a lot, I guess, that's been written about Nostradamus, and some of it has been pretty critical about what he stood for, whether his stuff was accurate or what the basis was, whether in fact he was simply a charlatan, you might say. And certainly my sense from his energy is that he was not a charlatan. It's not the energy of a charlatan. There is integrity. There is wisdom in his energy. Very interesting. I've had no experience with him before, and it's quite interesting energy, quite strong energy. Again, as always, when our guests connect with me in this way, it's like they turn up the volume on on their energy. And it's quite strong, has those characteristics that I shared with you.
That's beautiful. He tells me he does have a message for our listeners. So if you'd be kind enough to connect, Richard, and tell us what he might have to say, that would be wonderful.
Yes, I'm interested to see what he has to say also. Says he has several things that he wishes to say. I firstly appreciate the opportunity to come forth in this manner. It was not something that I expected, you might say, even though, as you might understand it, I can see possibility and probability on this side of things, and perhaps you might consider that should be my forte. However, it was only for me a possibility and not something I had focused on. And so it, perhaps to your surprise, caught me a little by surprise when Carolyn asked me to come forth in this manner. And in those words, I do not wish to discredit my history, so I'm playing a little game with you. However, I do wish to take a moment to perhaps explain a few of the things that were operating in my life that led to the, you might say, forecasting of events, because I did not ever consider myself to be a prophet in any real sense, but rather someone who was able to use a number of things together. Excuse me, I have something just caught in my throat. I need to take care of it. Hopefully I won't get caught on my words, or Nostradamus's words. There were many threads that contributed to the work that I was doing. Firstly, I, as some of you will know, studied herbal remedies, herbal approaches to health and healing. As some of you may understand, the plague was very prevalent in my lifetime, and I worked with this and other maladies. And so I became quite interested in natural and herbal remedies and healing methods. And this evolved, in a sense, through some of those that I worked with in understanding the capabilities of herbal remedies. It led me into an interest in astrology and into examining some of the historical texts which spoke about herbal remedies, and this in turn led me to study some of the work that had been done by others in talking about what might unfold in the future as they saw it. And so it was, you might say, a path that I followed from my interest in herbal medicine. This led me to become interested in astrology and what it was saying about what might unfold in people's lives and beyond. And indeed, I did quite a lot of work putting together birth charts and life path forecasts for people based on astrology. It is a practice and a discipline which has fallen into disrepute to a large degree, and in some ways has only just now begun to emerge to some extent, although it remains a very fringe discipline, you might say, because of the very strong focus on the so-called scientific method in your time. It gives no credence to the power of the patterns formed by the planets and the stars and so on. And yet, in my time, there was a great deal of history going back a long time where people had used astrology very powerfully. And indeed, some of those traditions and understandings came forth from ancient Egyptian times. And those texts bubbled up in my lifetime. And so I had access to some of this information. There has been in your time an understanding that has emerged about the precession of the equinoxes. And my interest in astrology also led me to understand the existence of the precession of the equinoxes, and indeed that this had been in place in human understanding for a long period of time. And this, in a sense, has been expressed through that book that has come forth in your time called Hamlet's Mill, which in a sense mines that history of myth and legend that talks incessantly, you might say, about this precession of the equinoxes. So these threads were bubbling up in my time. And this interest, apart from beginning to, you might say, pay my way, led me to an interest in looking at how one might use these tools and perhaps others to understand the future as it might unfold, not only in an individual's life, but the life of humanity. And so it led to a combination of skills, you might say. Carolyn mentioned scrying, and indeed I did make use of this. But really, I see it as a mechanism, a tool, if you will, that acted as a way to connect with my intuitive sense, my own intuitive guidance. And this began to come forth and to marry with my interest in the astrological. So these threads, you might say, came together to formulate, to drive how I began to, you might say, even observe the future in a way within my own mind's eye, based in part at having looked at the astrology and also marrying this, as I say, with that intuitive guidance, that scrying process, as Carolyn was describing, and marrying these threads together to not only predict events that might unfold in the lives of those with whom I was working, but on a broader level beyond it. As you might understand, the time in which I was working was one where the Catholic Church was in great power. And so even though in a direct sense the Catholic Church was not opposed to astrology per se, there were very clear guidelines about what one might say and how one might forecast or foretell what might unfold. And so a lot of what I wrote in a manner that was not immediately obvious in terms of what it was speaking about. And perhaps I was a little extreme in that, because I am aware that people have struggled even since that time to make sense of the things that I was seeking to alert humanity about. And so it is true that I, in a sense, was able to get a sense of major events that might unfold in the future. I certainly was not standing in a place of saying, this is what will happen at a particular point in time. I was not in that place, and therefore I do not consider myself to be a prophet in any manner. However, using the tools that I garnered, you might say, through my life, I did develop a strong sense that this patterning, you might say, that I was able to master gave me insights into events that had a quite high probability of unfolding. And so, my friends, I hope this gives you some sense of where I was coming from and how I was working in my time.
Thank you. We appreciate your telling us the method that you used to come up with the work that you published. And I have some questions, and certainly we will invite our listeners to send in their questions. And I think my first question, and of greatest interest, is what you wrote. Does any of that have to do with our time? In other words, of the time that humans find themselves now?
I mentioned earlier that I had developed an interest in the precession of the equinoxes, in part because it was clear to me that this was being spoken about from very ancient times. And as the book that I mentioned refers to, this was bubbling up in so many writings and so many stories, you might say, so many myths and legends. And so it came into my awareness that there was this repeating pattern, long-term pattern of experience that unfolded with the precession of the equinoxes, the grinding of that mill of the stars as the constellations tracked backwards through the sky over time. And buried in that was the understanding of the importance of the alignment with galactic center. And that, of course, is the time in which you find yourselves. And so, yes, I did make some forecasts, you might say, about events that might unfold. And I saw a number of possibilities. Firstly, there was the possibility of great destruction on the planet at that time. And indeed, I referred to this. However, I understood that this would only arise in certain circumstances, and those circumstances have not come to pass. And so that possibility has passed humanity by. I did not understand the nature of the ascension event that I certainly now understand quite well is in your near future. But I could see from the patternings and the things that I was looking at, and including the historical documents, that this represented a time of potential dramatic, you might say, advancement for humanity. That I could see. But also I could see the possibility of great destruction. And these two elements were alive and well in what I was able to see. And so I was not, you might say, exactly forecasting the events that are about to unfold, but certainly I had an awareness of the importance of this time. And as I say, this possibility of a significant advancement in the spiritual growth and understanding and development of humanity.
Thank you. Am I correct in assuming that the information that you had when you were living on Earth and what you see on the other side now, would you say, or rather agree, that there will not be all of the destruction that people are talking about when we face Galactic Center?
Yes, I believe I addressed that in my last comments. I do not see the unfolding of major destruction. As I said, that was a possibility that humanity has passed by, or perhaps it is better to say it has passed humanity by, based upon certain choices that were made along the way. That possibility will not arise in your experience.
I appreciate you mentioning this again. Yes, I heard it earlier that you said that, but since there is so much fear among people surrounding this event, I just wanted to kind of go back over that again and make certain that people who were listening to this understood what you had to say. When I was in France, I was shown a home, and it was said that you lived there. Did you live in France for a while?
Indeed, France was the country where I spent most of my life. I was born in France, and apart from spending some time in other countries, particularly in Italy, I spent most of my life in France.
The reason that I bring this up is I was shown some churches, at one church in particular that was in the town that you came from. And I was told that this was for people who followed the Jewish faith. Are you familiar with that? I believe you came from a background following the Jewish faith. Is that accurate?
I carried Jewish blood, you might say, though I was not a practitioner of the Jewish faith. Indeed, my father converted to Catholicism, and as a result, I did not grow up in those traditions. However, I was aware of those links, and indeed, I'm aware of the church to which you refer.
Thank you. I bring this up for a particular reason. I was told that that particular church, as I said, that there was a large Jewish community in the area. And looking at the building, I saw some similarity to Gothic cathedrals. There was the structure of windows on the side of the church, and it seemed to me that there was some semblance, some similarity between the Gothic cathedrals and this particular building. Would you agree with that or disagree? Was there some connection between the building of the Gothic cathedrals and what people of the Jewish faith believed in at the time?
The answer to this is complex. You may be aware that some of that group that you know of as the Essenes from Yeshua's time moved to France. And even though you associate them in a sense with Yeshua and hence are drawn to think of Christianity, in truth, they were Jewish people. And so there were a lot of people in southern France who were of Jewish extraction, but actually carried deeply mystical interests and practices that were reflective of the Essene origins of many of the people who lived in that area. And so they were very aware of the true teachings of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene, and also they were very aware of energies that are well understood by you and others to flow through France, and those key energy points that are well known or were well known to the Druids in earlier times. And that church is built on one such important energy point. And even though the Templars are viewed as, in a sense, Catholic, you well understand that they truly were not that. They were, in truth, deeply mystical people. And as such, they understood the traditions, the historical links of many of the Jewish people in southern France in particular, and their connections to the earlier Essene communities, which were widespread throughout that area. And so there is actually quite a powerful connection between that Jewish church to which you refer and the Templar traditions and their skills and abilities. And they, in fact, contributed their knowledge and understanding to the building of that church. It is not well understood that this is the case, but this is why. And that is why the windows in that church carry the same structure as the windows in the Gothic cathedrals created by the Templars, because indeed it has their fingerprints all over it.
Your answer excites me, because when I was there, I felt that very strongly. You brought up another point that I find interesting also, is that on the location of that church, that there is, did you say PowerPoint or energy in the earth? I forget exactly how you phrased that. I'd like to know a little bit about why the church was built there and what it might mean energy-wise. If you have that understanding, I would appreciate it, since I am so interested in that tradition.
You understand that the energies that come forth from the earth are most powerful where two ley lines cross. And this is the basis for the location of the Gothic cathedrals and the path that the Templars created from Compostela in Spain through the major Gothic cathedrals of France through to Roslyn Chapel in Scotland. All of those are on what I would call major power points where ley lines cross. And there are actually many places where ley lines cross in France. It is an energetically very active area, very similar indeed to the case of Britain, which is perhaps better recognized for this with locations such as Stonehenge and so many others. And indeed, there are very similar arrays of these power points throughout France. However, in the French situation, there has been much more of a tradition of building churches and cathedrals and so on these key power points, much more than has been the case in Britain, where you tend to see the ancient Druid structures remaining in place in some form, usually having fallen into disrepair. However, in France, as I say, there was much more activity driven not only by the Templars, though they were a key driving force in it, but indeed threads remaining from those Druidic traditions that flowed up into the acceptable religious expressions, if you will, of the time. And so this happened to be one of those PowerPoints where these ley lines crossed and where the energies come forth. Indeed, this site is what you might call a Black Madonna site, where there is significant magnetic, telluric energy coming forth from the ground. And it is why Templars also were willing to participate in contributing their skills and abilities to the creation of this church.
That's beautiful. I really do appreciate you bring this information forth. I also would like to invite people in our audience, now that you've got Notre Dame's attention, this would be an excellent time to ask your questions. You seem to have some knowledge of this, and I deeply appreciate you sharing this with us. Now, in the Black Madonna sites, it is usually dedicated to a female entity. In your experience, I'm wondering if you know this, which identity or individual would a Black Madonna site be dedicated to?
In the time when the cathedrals were built, because it is predominantly cathedrals on these sites or Catholic churches, usually it was a dedication to Mother Mary. However, there are examples in France where it was Mary Magdalene. However, if you peel back the layers of history, you will find that the figure, you might say, that these sites were dedicated to historically was in fact Isis. They all had a carved statue, you might say, that was reflective of Isis, mostly wooden in ancient times, but they were all dedicated to Isis as the relevant expression of the divine feminine. It is really the acknowledgement of the feminine that is at work here in the acknowledgement of this magnetic energy. And the term Black Madonna is more relevant to more recent times when those sites were having cathedrals and so on built upon them, because of course that Madonna title is more relevant to Mother Mary.
That's beautiful. I thank you so much for that information. I was concentrating so much on your information, I just lost thought of my next question. Do you know if there are written records, and I'm assuming they would be hidden, that was known of this connection with the Jewish community and Yeshua in southern France? I sense that there is a connection in records someplace, connecting all of these little dots, so to speak, of Yeshua living in the southern France after the crucifixion.
There is evidence of the presence of both Yeshua and Mary Magdalene in that area. The information in regarding to Mary Magdalene is much more public. Indeed, as you are aware, there is a cave which has been long recognized as the place where Mary Magdalene went and spent some time after Yeshua's death in mourning. And she stayed there for quite a considerable amount of time. And this is well understood by those French people living in that area. And it is interesting to see how, on the one hand, the Catholic Church demeaned Mary Magdalene and yet also recognized the power of the understandings and the traditions of respect for Mary Magdalene in that area of France, such that they have built a chapel, you might say, in that area of that cave in acknowledgement of her. And this is well understood and accepted in that area of France. And it is, you might say, married into the Catholic Church in its own perverse way. It is not so different from celebrating Yeshua's birthday at Christmas, which really is a pagan festival celebrating the solstice. So here we have yet another example where there has been this pragmatic gathering of the flock, you might say, by acknowledging the truth that existed in that area, the knowledge and the understanding of the local community that Mary Magdalene had lived there and had mourned Yeshua's death by spending a long period of time in that cave. So there is this piece of very clear evidence, documented and well understood within the Catholic Church traditions. The evidence for Yeshua is rather more varied because, firstly, the Catholic Church has worked extremely hard to eliminate all such evidence. And also, it was not a long period of time that he remained there because he did succumb to his wounds, as you know. And so there are records, including the presence of his body remains, kept in a form which makes it unmistakable that it is Yeshua's body because of the wounds from the crucifixion and so on. So this evidence is unmistakable, and the time will come when this will come forth. Some of these dots will get joined. I know you expected much of this to come forth before this coming solstice and ascension process, but really, in a sense, it is unimportant because truly the issue is the understandings of history that humanity beyond ascension will have about who and what they are and what has brought them to that point, both positive and negative. And all of this will come forth, and it will be, the evidence will remain in the fifth dimension, if you understand this unfolding.
Yes. Now, Yeshua and Mary Magdalene, to my understanding, lived at Rennes-le-Château for a while, or in that vicinity. Do you care to comment on that?
It is my understanding that that is accurate.
Thank you. Somebody listening to the show has called in with their question, and Debbie on line 3 has a question. Welcome, Debbie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was wondering, who Nostradamus was saying that most of the catastrophic events that were supposed to occur aren't going to happen now. And I was wondering if that includes February 13th, 2013, and June 1st, 2013, if that's what he was speaking about.
I don't know that he was speaking about those two dates, but Debbie, what is your understanding of what will happen on those two dates?
Big events, earth-changing events. And I was just wondering if he saw anything for those two dates.
I will ask him, but I'm really curious about what you're, where you're finding this information. I'm not challenging you. I'm just interested from my own point of view.
No, I've just seen it on several sites on the internet.
Okay. So this is something that you saw on the internet. And would you give us those two dates again?
February 13th, 2013, and June 1st, 2013.
Thank you. Richard, did you hear that?
Yes. Firstly, I would like to comment on your choice of words in regard to catastrophic events unfolding in this time. You used the words meant to be or similar, and those words are not relevant. They reflect a perception that there will be such traumatic events, such destruction at this time. And as I said to you, it was a possibility, and the events that unfolded ensured that it would not unfold. And so the term meant to be or similar is not relevant. And so be careful, dear one, that you do not get stuck in this fear-mongering, because your words suggest that perhaps you have. And I will say to you that the focus that you need to bring is the unfolding of events which see the unfolding of powerful energies coming to the planet with this impending solstice, followed by the ascension of humanity that will participate in that process at the March equinox. These are the most significant events that need to be in your awareness. And so I will say to you that I do not see significant disruptive events, catastrophic events occurring on the two dates that you mentioned.
Debbie, thank you for your question.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Rest easily. Pam is on line 4. Welcome, Pam.
Thank you. I do appreciate you guys very, very much. And my question is, does Nostradamus, from his point of view of reference now, see, and I know we have the dates of December 21st and then of the March equinox and so forth, but there's, again, I mean, there's so much confusion and so many different point of view being spread about as to whether or not this really is an event that will occur over a few days, a few months, or whether it really is going to take much longer than that and be a little bit more of a gradual kind of awakening. And mm-hmm. I'd like to know more about that.
Richard, did you grasp what her intent was?
Yes, yes. Dear one, I do recommend to you that you connect with the message that was given by Isis to these ones just towards the end of this week. And I suggest that they give you and others information about this if they were not connected to that call or received the recording of it, because Isis spent quite a deal of time explaining to those who participated in the call the unfolding of events as she sees them. And I will say to you that Isis is one who is far more connected to these events than I am.
Okay.
I am aware for sure of what is foretold and what is coming to pass, but she is much more of an authority on all of this because she has been deeply involved in the planning of it all from a long, long time ago. And so I will say to you that the events as I have expressed here are strongly endorsed by what Isis had to say in that call, and I do commend it to you. In simple terms, there will be energies coming powerfully to the planet with this equinox, and it will, in a sense, cause the separation of humanity onto several different paths, some of whom will be walking the path which will take them to ascension, and most of the rest of humanity will simply be removed from the planet. This might sound a little horrendous to you and might sound somewhat cataclysmic, and perhaps in some ways it is. But it is not such a cataclysmic disruption in terms of disruption to the planet per se. It is simply reflecting the soul choices that have been made by all of those present upon the planet. And those that are moving forward to ascension will, in a sense, go through some preparation and also, in a sense, some acclimatization or acclimation for through that period between the solstice and the equinox. And then it will be like, in a sense, the flick of a switch where those who are in this dimension and are participating in ascension will be in the fifth dimension. And initially, to many, it will seem like nothing has happened. But I'm not going to spell it out more than this. I will simply say to you, it is not something which is smeared out in time much more than has been described here.
I appreciate your answer, Nostradamus. Richard, can we just take a break for 1 second? I don't know if this will disrupt your flow, or should we? I wanted to mention to Pam about that call with Isis and how she could get that information, or should we wait until the end of the show?
I already know, because it's you guys have sent that information out. I can do that. No problem.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Thank you, though, for thinking of that. I appreciate it very much.
Yes. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes, Richard, at the end, because I think there might be other people, especially since Nostradamus is recommending it, we should tell other people about it who don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Pam. I was extremely interested in something that you said, Nostradamus, about Isis being very much involved in this and participated in the planning of this event. Is there something else that you could share with us? I was fascinated by that answer with regards to Isis and the planning of what was going on.
Most people associate Isis with ancient Egypt, and that is true. But many on this call will understand that she was also present in Atlantis. And as I mentioned earlier, she was well recognized and widely recognized in ancient Europe, because all of those, what you refer to as Black Madonna sites, were dedicated to her. And indeed, there was in southern France, not so far from Rennes-le-Château, a temple dedicated to Isis. And so she has had an involvement in the history of the planet that is much older than people recognize. And there are many, I'm sure, listening to this call who have, on some level, to some degree, been attuned with or to Reiki. And whilst this is accredited to a Japanese gentleman for bringing it forth, indeed the energies of Reiki were brought to the planet by Isis a long, long time ago. And so, not only was she present in Atlantis, but indeed her involvement extends much further back. And she came to Atlantis from Sirius, and it is those on Sirius that have responsibility for the overall progression and spiritual development of humanity. And so a great deal of planning went into the unfolding of human journey, including the Atlantean experience, the planning in detail of the process of the fall, which occurred the last time the planet was in alignment with galactic center, some 13,000 years ago, the last aspect of that fall in Atlantis. And inevitably, as a result, the transition from that fall back to the higher level of consciousness that existed at the time of Atlantis and beyond. This has required a great deal of planning on many levels, and Isis has been deeply involved with all of this. She was present in Atlantis, as I mentioned, and she did not reincarnate to be in Egypt. Indeed, she left the planet and went back to Sirius before the fall. And when the dust had settled, you might say, she returned to Egypt, where the decision had been made before the fall to, you might say, move human development along to a new level very quickly. And so this is the ancient times referred to in Egyptian history. And so Isis has had a significant role in all of this over an extended period of time.
That's beautiful. I would like to thank you so much, Nostradamus, for assisting humanity at this time, giving us your viewpoints on so many diverse questions. And Richard, thank you in particular for bringing forth Nostradamus in your usual, beautiful, masterful way. We thank you for that.
Thank you, Carolyn, and thank you, Nostradamus.
We have 3 minutes, and I think this would be a good time to talk a little bit about that call that was almost 2 hours, that Isis had brought forth all this information. If you might mention it and tell people how they can get a copy of it, I'd be most grateful.
Well, I think Nostradamus probably said what there is to say about it. It was a call that was really built around the questions that people had had, and it flowed out of, in fact, one of these shows where we had Isis on here, and there were so many questions, and so we decided to put that together, and the number of questions we had was just overwhelming, really. And so we, in conjunction with Isis, did the best job we could do to kind of marshal all that together. And the answers, as I say, it started really with Isis expressing how she saw things really from this time through the events at the solstice and what would unfold in a sense between the solstice and the March equinox, how the ascension process would occur and what the experience of the new earth would be like. And so it's pretty interesting material, and some of it we had kind of been given in other places in bits and pieces, and some of it we had not been given before. So quite a lot of it was new to us. And so there was a lot of ground covered in that nearly 2 hours. And what I will do, many of you will have received the email that I sent out today about it, and I will also put a link on it. You can order the recording from that show, if it's of interest to you. It's certainly pretty interesting material, and I do recommend it to all of you. So you can order that and just download the file and listen to the recording.
That's beautiful. Richard, we've come to the end of another hour, if you can imagine that.
It's hard to. I don't know where the time goes. It seems like about 2 minutes when I'm doing this.
You do such a beautiful job. And, of course, you're so in tune with the guest. It does go fast, and it is a lot of fun. And, again, I appreciate you being here, bringing your skills. Also, Richard is using the right side of his brain, connecting with people. And, again, I would like to say you can do it also. And he teaches that right brain magic. And if you would like to learn how to do this. He's a good teacher. So, dear one, I would like to say good night to you and to all of these beautiful beings who listen to the radio show and who send us such beautiful messages. Your messages that you send to us are truly uplifting. Good night for now.
Thank you, Carolyn. Good night, everyone.